Amen. All right, we're going to be continuing in John chapter 3 this morning. If you're visiting with us, that's what we do. We go through books, and we have endeavored this book, the book of John, to read every single word and every single verse.
Amen. Amen.
At least one person agrees. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, man. I told you guys, I'm going to try not to say it anymore. I want you to say it.
Oh, whatever.
Huh? That's funny, right? Come on. If you read ahead, you will get more out of this than the person who did not read ahead. That is a promise. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you read ahead, you already know where we're going. Here is the title. He must become greater, and I must become less. He must become greater, and I must become less. I cannot tell you how important these words are. These are such important words. And in the Bible, other people, some of greater stature, some of equal stature, have said this, but in different ways. Are you following me? I want to show you a couple of those today. That's how important it is. Because in our walk with Jesus Christ, in our walk with God, if we don't become less, He cannot become more.
Amen.
Are you following me? He's got to. And you know, some of us here today, maybe we're away from God, we're out of fellowship with God. Hear me this morning. It's because He needs to become more. And you need to become less. I'm not saying it. Man, somebody said it. Say it, Joshua. Right on, brother. Yes. All right. You know, there's nothing wrong with a little Baptist-costal. I get excited when God speaks, man. I do. Glory. I remember that guy from Willow Park, man. Willow Park Baptist. The preacher be preaching. This guy had a booming voice. Hey, what would he say, Dave?
Glory.
Well, he was a lot louder than that. Everybody around him would jump. Yeah, yeah. You know, kind of like when Chris is preaching on Wednesday night and he's got that low. And listen, be careful when he goes to that low. Because he's fixing this. I was sitting there and he did that one, and Judy's sitting over there, and she about jumped out of her seat. She got the speaker right here. Ooh, but man, we should get excited about the Lord, right? Excited about what he brought us here for. Excited about what He brought us here to teach us. Because He brought us here to teach us something. He brought us here to show us something, right? And today, I can tell you what it has to do with. He must become greater, and I must become less. That is the true story of today. So, let's pick it up in John chapter 3, verse 22. We're going to read verse 22 through 30. What's the first two words there? Okay, so, what is it after? Because I want you to understand, it was just after the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. One of the premier conversations in the whole Bible. Nicodemus, a Jewish ruler, a synagogue ruler, a part of the Sanhedrin, which would have been the highest of Jews. Are you following me? And he comes to Jesus at night, and Jesus tells him straight up, man, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to tell him, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. We know that would have turned Nicodemus' world upside down. Because of their relationship to Abraham, they thought they had a shoe-in. They were already promised heaven. But listen, nobody's promised heaven. Nobody's promised heaven unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Unless you're born of water and born of the Spirit. Jesus went on to say, hey, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. But he didn't come to condemn the world because the world's already condemned, he said. Right? The world is already condemned. Today, right now, if you do not have Jesus Christ, God's wrath is upon you. You are under condemnation. You know what, man, when I picture under condemnation, I picture this great big boulder that's sitting right on top of you. You can't move it, but your mouth can and your heart can. And how do you do that? You cry out to God. You cry out to the Lord. You know what the Lord does to that boulder? To that condemnation? Just a little pebble to Him, man. So that's what after this means, okay? So let's read on. After this, Jesus and His disciples went out into the Judean countryside where He spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. You say, well, why did we put that in there? Well, because John isn't writing this as it's happening. He wrote it at a later date. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everybody is going to him. To this, John replied, hear me this morning. A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. Some powerful words right there, my friend. Some powerful words right there. You yourselves can testify, John said, that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent, what? Ahead of Him. And listen, it was prophesied 700 years before John the Baptist came that He would come and prepare the way of the Lord, or make straight the way for the Lord, that He would be the one crying in the wilderness. So even this man here is a prophecy that has been fulfilled. Then he goes into this. He says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom, everybody say attends. Attends or attends to. Come on. All right. Attends the bridegroom, waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. Verse 30, he must become greater and I must become less. These are the last words John will speak in this book personally. Amen? Because he does have a future, but his future is not very long. But they are some powerful, powerful words. So what's going on here? What's the context? What's the setting? Clearly, John and his disciples are baptizing people. And clearly, Jesus and his disciples are baptizing people. But listen, I want you to know something. Jesus didn't baptize anyone. If you go to John chapter 4, the very next chapter, verse 2, it'll tell you right there, but Jesus did not baptize anyone. Amen? But John's disciples were doing the baptism. And there arose a dispute, an argument, right, between a Jew and the ones who were baptizing. And the dispute was, it almost sounds like they're envious. It almost sounds like they're a little bitter. Hey, John, hey, Rabbi, you know that dude? You know that guy that you talked about? Look, everybody's going to him. Yeah, like it's a bad thing. So John explains to him, look, you guys know I've told you that I am not the Christ, but I am the one who came before him. So then John goes and gives an analogy or an illustration, and he talks about a bride and a groom, or a groom and a bride. Am I right? So here's in order for us to understand what he's talking about, then we need to understand a little bit about the wedding process. And by the way, the Jewish wedding, man, that was a big deal. It went on for days. It went on for days and days and days. So when the wedding came, it was responsibility of the best man or the best friend of the friend, as it says here, of the groom to take care of many of the details of the wedding, whether it was to send out invitations or whether it was to preside at the wedding feast, right? But he also had one very specific duty, and that duty was when the time came, he would guard the bride's door, and he wouldn't let anyone in except for the groom. But when he saw the groom coming and he heard the groom's voice, he was full of joy. And he would open the door and he would let the bride, he would let the groom in. And it was at that point that his job as friend of the groom was complete. Are you following me? So I want you to know something. When John's speaking this to these people, this analogy, they would have understood it. They would have been looking at him going, oh, yeah, I get it. Because John's task was to bring Israel, the bride, into contact or bring together Jesus, who was the groom. That was his job. And now he knew that this job was complete. How did he know that? Because now everybody was coming to John to be baptized. But now, slowly but surely, everybody's going to Jesus. Amen? Did I say amen? So it was not out of, maybe his disciples clearly have a little bit of envy, jealousy, or bitterness, but it was not out of any of that, envy or bitterness, that John said what he said, right? Because it tells us here, John said it with joy. So knowing this kind of this process about the wedding, let me read verse 29 to you again. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. In other words, Israel belongs to Jesus. Amen. The friend who attends the bridegroom or attends to the bridegroom, that is John the Baptist as the friend attending to the bridegroom, which is Jesus. He waits and he listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. Man. So in our text here, I want you to see something. Because, man, John the Baptist is, what a dude. Man, what, did anybody know what he ate? Hat tip, John. Huh? Out in the wilderness with camel's hair? He must have found a dead camel somewhere. Made him an outfit, right? But eating locusts? You know, they do say locusts is good for you. Huh? Spoiled, rotten people. Spoiled, rotten people. All right, but what we see here in John, man, and by the way, he was a special dude. He was born with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Jesus said of him, of John the Baptist, there was no one greater that has been born of woman than John the Baptist. So he is a special dude. And he even in his last words here, he's going to give us some pretty spectacular lessons to learn here, because John was a man who was dedicated to the mission that God had given him. Was he not? John was a man who understood the importance of setting aside his desires and his own ambitions, right? And was devoted to filling God's desires. He was. He didn't even have a house. I couldn't tell you anywhere in the Bible where it says he had a house. It says he lived in the wilderness and ate locusts and honey. Man, John the Baptist was not a man concerned with building his own kingdom. Can I tell you this morning, in all honesty, there's Christians, too many Christians, who are concerned more about building their own kingdom than they are about building the kingdom of God. I want you to know something. You're not here to build a kingdom in this world. You were here and you were left here to build the kingdom of God. Amen. John knew that. And he was way more interested in building the kingdom of God than building his own kingdom. That's why when them guys said, hey, John, they're not coming to us much anymore. They're all going to Jesus. John said, hey, that makes me happy, joyful to see that going on. I want to read something to you. And in the context here, it's Jesus and his disciples who have gone away to pray. And they did that on several occasions, where they just got away from the crowds and the multitudes, and they went and they prayed. In Luke 9, chapter 23 and 24, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Today, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Are you a disciple of Jesus? So today, here's what I want you to know. Today, he's talking to you. Today, he's talking to you and me right here in John chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Then he said to them, all. Oh, dang it. He didn't leave you out. And he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross
daily,
and follow me. Let me ask you this. Would it be fair for me to say that to become less so he can become greater would be essentially the same as saying, if I want to be Jesus' disciples, I must deny myself. Yes. Yes. Amen? Yes, it is the same. To deny myself, yes, and to take up my cross daily and follow him. What did it mean to take up to a cross? Listen, anytime you took up a cross in this culture, in the Roman world, it meant death. Because you were taking up that cross and you were going to die on that cross. Do you follow me? So that's what is he really saying? Man. He goes on to say, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Listen, this kind of self-denial, I just want you to know, it's not easy. It's not easy because we have to cultivate a desire, right, and a willingness to surrender our own plans and our own dreams to Jesus and to God. Do you understand? It requires a commitment to put God first in everything. Oh, in your job? In your children? In your marriage? In everything? In everything. Even when it comes to sacrificing your own comfort and convenience. Listen, to put God first in all things, you will sacrifice your own comfort and you will sacrifice your own convenience. And if you're living life now and you're not sacrificing either one of them ever for the kingdom of God, then you're not living for the kingdom of God. Because that is what the kingdom of God requires. Sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice of convenience and it's a sacrifice of comfort. Make no mistake about it. Amen?
Yep.
Why does he want us to do that? Because Jesus knows, and he says right here, when we deny ourselves, then we are actually truly finding ourselves. In losing our lives for Jesus, what he says here is in losing our lives or laying down our lives or giving up our lives, then we are actually finding them. Would you agree with me this morning that spiritually and the world are absolutely different.
Opposites.
Principles are different. There is a necessity for you and I. We're called the children of God, right? There's a necessity for you and I to become less, right? To deny ourselves. And I think it's a principle that speaks toward humility. Absolutely speaks to humility and submission. Because what it is truly a step back so that God can step forward.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
You ever seen them bumper stickers? God is my Jesus is my co-pilot. He shouldn't be the co-pilot. Yes, yes, yeah. You know, people say, you know, I walk with Jesus beside Jesus. I don't want to be beside him. I want to be behind him. Right, I want to follow him. To me, that's the safest place. But he should not be the co-pilot. He should be the one driving. So let him drive. And when I say this about denying ourselves or becoming less, I want you guys to know it's not about diminishing our worth or diminishing our value. But what it's about is about recognizing God's sovereignty and God's supremacy in our lives. Because when we can decide in our hearts that we're going to become less so that he can become more, then isn't that what we're saying? We're saying, Lord, I recognize your supremacy. I recognize your sovereignty. I recognize who you are. And I recognize who I am. And I need to become less. So that you, Lord, become more. You can't have both. You can't have both. Yeah. You cannot have both. Amen? It's about you and I making room for God. I need to make some room in some areas of my life for God. Can anybody else say that? Amen? How much room in my life does God want?
All of it.
I want to make room for Him so that He can be glorified. That's my number one goal. I want God to be glorified. I want God to receive the glory. But in all honesty, there are some places in my life I need to step back and let God lead me in those areas. Because He wants to lead me in every area. And I don't think I'll ever be able to say that God has full control of every area of my life. Because I'm always going to be fighting some kind of battle. But here's what I want you to know. Let me encourage you a little bit. Man, I do not fight the same battles that I fought 30 years ago.
Amen.
You follow me? Amen. Praise the Lord, man. You know, it went from a dump truck to a Tonka truck.
Amen.
And that's the process of sanctification. That's the process of denying myself. That's the process with me wanting to understand what the Bible says and me understanding that I need to become less.
Yes.
My needs and my desires and my own wants and my own dreams need to be second to what God desires for me. Oh, yes, you will sacrifice convenience. You will sacrifice comfort.
Yep.
Make no mistake about it. Oh, what did Jesus, what did David say in 2 Samuel 24:24? He said, I refuse to sacrifice to God anything that doesn't cost me something. You think you're working for the Lord? You think you're sacrificing for God? Well, let me ask you this. What did it cost you? Oh, it didn't cost me anything. Well, it's not a sacrifice for God. Because the sacrifice for God will truly cost you something. Amen? So the concept of becoming less, denying ourselves, it's not an easy concept to grasp. We live in a world that promotes what? Self-promotion. Self-sufficiency. We got to climb the corporate ladder. We got to get to the top. We got to be the boss. We got to make a name for ourselves. We got to rise above the crowd. So in the world, the way up is up. But I want you to know it's all different in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Because the way up in the kingdom of God is down. I want you to see this because it's important. In the world, the way up is up. But in the kingdom, it's completely different. And the way up is actually down. You say, Pastor, can you prove that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me read to you a couple of verses. Because the kingdom of God has different principles, different values, different morals, different everything.
Yep.
Matthew 23:11-12. Listen very closely. The greatest among you will be your what? For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Wait a minute. Would it possibly say, and those who humble themselves will be exalted?
Absolutely.
Do you understand what I mean by in the world, the way up is up, but in the kingdom of God, the way up is down? Because if you want to exalt yourself, then you will be humbled. But listen, if you want to humble yourselves before the Lord, then He will exalt you. You see what I mean by in the kingdom of God, the way up is down. Listen to something else. The way to greatness in the kingdom of God is through service. This don't make sense to the world, by the way. I want you to know that. But the way to greatness is through service. Listen to Matthew 20:26-28. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Didn't we just read that?
Yep.
Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Well, heck, you know, if I got to be a slave, I don't want to be first. Okay. I do. I'll be your slave. I'll be your servant. Because in that, God exalts me. Because in service and slavery, in the way the Bible speaks here, I am humbling myself. And the Bible's already promised those who are humbled will be exalted. Let's read the rest of that. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. So would it be fair to say the way to life is actually through death to self? I want you to remember three words, because I know you only remember about 5% of anything that is said up here this morning, but I want you to remember just three words, and they come from the Apostle Paul. All right? And these are the three words he said in 1 Corinthians 1:15, 31. He said this: I die daily. You want God to work in your life throughout the day? Do you really? Then you got to die to yourself daily. And if you read through Paul's letters and Paul's epistles, man, he died to sin. He died to flesh. He died to self. And he did it all daily. So when you stand back and you look at the great amount of work that Paul accomplished. Now, I know he accomplished it through God. But this is the key to how he did it. He died to self, to sin, to the flesh daily. You remember what he said? He said, I beat my body into submission. Dang it. You need some help with that? Come see me. Huh? I'll help you. Beat your body into submission. But these are the key words right here, man. And listen, I die to self. I die daily. Jesus said, deny yourself. John the Baptist said, he must become greater and I must become less. Don't you see that that is one of the major things of the Bible? And here it is. Here's what it comes down to. It's not about you. It's not about you. But, Pastor, I want to make it about me. Okay, go ahead. Make it about you. But according to the Bible, I just want you to know, it is not about you. All right. So the principle of becoming less, denying ourselves, dying daily, I want you to know the implications that it has right here on New Life Fellowship Church, because it does. It does. It absolutely has great implications for not just New Life Fellowship Church, the body of Christ as a whole. But I just want to talk to you for a minute about us, because I do have expectations. But my expectations are no different than what the Bible says a pastor's expectations should be. Amen? But when a church, a body of Christ, is full of people who are becoming less, who understand that they need to deny themselves and take up their cross daily, who understand that they need to die daily, when the church has people, a congregation full of those types of people, they are powerful. Amen. In the kingdom of God. Powerful in the kingdom of God. Now, I hope you understand now what I'm always telling you. Hook up somewhere. Serve somewhere. Do something in the kingdom of God. That's why I'm always encouraging you to, hey, Sanctified Hope, our greatest ministry that we serve, always got places, don't they, Janet? For a day, you can serve a day every month, whatever. There's places for you to serve. Center of Hope has places that you can go serve for hours, for a day, whatever. Samaritan's Purse, we have positions where you can serve. The church has places to serve. He who wants to be the greatest among you must be your servant.
Amen.
You got to serve. You got to serve, because that is becoming less. But at the same time, he is becoming more. And your witness and your testimony is becoming greater. Man. When a church has a people full of servants, you know, people who are willing to lay down their own lives to serve other people, it's no longer a church that tries to fulfill their own agenda. Because, Marlene, you can't be becoming less and be a servant at New Life Fellowship Church and then come here and try to fulfill your own agenda. You just can't. But listen to me. Those who are not, that's what they want. They want their own agenda. Listen, don't bring your own agenda with you because I ain't hearing it. You bring God's agenda with you, we'll sit down and talk about it. And by the way, I have become pretty good at telling the difference. What is that called? All right. So we become a church full of servants, but you know what that says? We are led by, we're driven by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what that means, man. So would it be fair for me to stand up here and say, the greatest bodies of Christ in this world are the ones with the greatest amount of servants inside them? Have you ever thought about it that way? Find a place in the kingdom to serve. There's a place for you. God's got it already marked out. Matter of fact, your name is right there. He's just waiting for you to show up. Amen? Maybe we can get... No, I won't say it. Sometimes I can be too real, Brother Chris. All right. So the path to truly becoming great in the kingdom of God is about Jesus becoming more and us becoming less. It's about us denying ourselves and dying daily. It's about making God the priority in our lives. Am I right? And understanding that when we do, our lives, our church, and our community will be transformed.
Amen.
Because it is. That's what transforms things. That's what transforms our lives is God working in it, right? What transforms our community is God working in the lives of His people. What transforms our can transform our world? God working in the lives of His people. And listen, the main word that comes up there is servant. God's looking for servants. You know what He's got? Secret agent Christian.
Yeah.
Secret agent Christians instead of servants, man. There's a huge difference. A huge difference, man, in secret agent Christians and servants. Come on. Listen. When you say the name of Jesus in a crowd of people, are you embarrassed by that? When you hear it in a crowd of people, are you embarrassed by that? Do you speak it in a crowd of people? I think you should. Christ is King. Christ is... Hey, Jesus is Lord. Here's what I want you to know, man. Our worth is not found in our worldly status. It is not found in our worldly achievements. And it's not found in our worldly possessions. Our worth is found only in Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives us our life's meaning. He is the one that gives our life purpose. He is the only one that can do those things for in a real, real way. Are you following me? And listen, He's the only one that gives my life value. And you know how valuable I am to Him? Man, I am so valuable to God that He stepped out of heaven, put on flesh. Are you hearing me? And for the cross and the joy set before Him, endured the cross, endured the beatings, endured the crown of thorns, endured being hammered to a cross, endured all of that for me. for me. Man, what are the, on the cross of Calvary, what are the three greatest words Jesus said? Telestai, yes. It is finished, man. That's how much He loves you. That's my value. That's my value. Don't let anybody tell you different. You hear me? Because the world wants to tell you ain't worth much. Maybe because your background. Maybe because of whatever it is you've done in your past. Listen to it. The devil will do it too. Remember that abortion you had? Come on. Remember that time you did that? Remember you did that? Listen. You know what you tell the devil? Told you I get a little too real sometimes. Janet, don't look like that. That's not the worst thing I've ever done. Amen. Amen. So listen, that's what you tell the devil, right? Get behind me.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, yes. All right, let's move on. Verse 31. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. So what is John telling us here? Because I do believe John, the writer John, is now speaking. So John wants us to know, based in summarizing what we just went over, is where Jesus came from. And where He came from was heaven. And that's what makes Jesus different from everybody else. Because if you remember last week, speaking to Nicodemus, He said that I came from heaven, right? That Jesus came from heaven, and that He was the only one that came from heaven. So here's what I want you to know. Jesus wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a wise man. He wasn't just a spiritual man. He was and is God, and He came from heaven.
Amen.
Yes. Jesus is not only different than everyone else, as John tells us here, He is above everyone else, right? That Jesus is a name that is above all names. Come on. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Man, I suggest you do it now. Verse 32 and 33. He testifies to what He has seen and heard, but no one accepts His testimony. He was talking about, for the most part, when Jesus came, you remember? His own people didn't even accept Him. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. That's you. That's me. Have you accepted it?
Yes.
You are certified that God is faithful. I'm telling you right now, God is faithful. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. So what is John talking about here? He's talking about Jesus, who of course had the Holy Spirit without limit. But he's also talking about the new covenant that was going to be instituted, in which it featured what? In Acts chapter 2, an outpouring or an inpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. So here's what I want you to know. Not only did Jesus have the Spirit without limit, but listen to me. You and I have the Spirit without limit as well. You say, Pastor, how come if we all have the Spirit without limit, how come this person is doing so much more than this person? Well, this person is resisting, quenching, grieving the Holy Spirit, as the Bible says you can. This person is becoming less. This person is denying self. This person is dying daily. You follow me? You don't have any less of the Spirit than I do. Oh, boy, there's some power in there.
Amen.
It's a good thing He didn't give me power to bring fire down from heaven. I keep asking Him for it. Amen. All right. Last verse. And what a perfect way to end John chapter 3, right? Because we've heard this from John in these three chapters before. Remember the beginning of John? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? Listen to how He ends it here. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands. Listen, listen, let me encourage you. The same one who went to the cross and died for you, your Lord and your Savior, every single ounce of authority in existence belongs to Him. And He's using that on your behalf. Do you understand that? Man, you and I have a Savior. There was no one greater than. How can I lose? There's no way for me to lose. But it also excites me to serve, knowing who He is and what He did for me. Man. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God remains on him. So John is just repeating something that he said last week. Amen? You cannot see the kingdom of God. Right? You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And the wrath of God. Pastor, you mean... Oh, man. You know what I'm thankful for? I ain't ever going to see the wrath of God. Amen. Not the wrath that He talks about poured out in the full cup of His anger. I'm going to be gone. Now, for those of you who remain, I suggest you fall to your knees and repent. A true repentance. You say, oh, Pastor, you know, I thought I did. Thinking ain't going to get you to heaven, man. What did God say? He said in 1 John 5:13, He said, I write these things to you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may
know.
I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have salvation. I know nobody can take it away from me, including myself. And I know one day I'm going to heaven. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to store up as many rewards as I can before I get there. And how do I do that? I do that by becoming less and Him becoming more. I do that by dying daily to myself. I do that by denying myself and taking up my cross and following Him daily. Man. So there you go, man. Title up. He must become greater and I must become less. If you would, stand with me. Even putting this together was very convicting. I'm just telling you, man, because when you're honest with yourself, when you read the Word of God, you have to be honest with yourself, don't you? You really do. You have to. When you sit down, you say, all right, God, take away the veil. Take down the barriers. Take away the justification. And just speak to me directly. So it was kind of convicting because there are areas in my life and areas in all of our lives, to be honest with you, that we're exalted in, right? That we need to be humbled in. Areas in our lives that we need to become less so He can become more. And listen, here's the deal. We need to recognize what those areas are, because until we recognize them and see them for what they really are, we're never going to make that change. And I want you to know something. It's holding you back from fulfilling the ultimate purpose that God has in your life. Do you know if you're standing here today, I don't care how old you are, if you're handicapped, whatever, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you and a place of service for you. Oh, He didn't just save me to be a couch potato. Pretty sure he didn't. Amen? Start asking the Lord, where does He want you? What does He want you to do? And you know, here's the deal. Don't be afraid of the answer, because it's probably going to be something outside of your convenience and outside of your comfort zone. I'm just telling you. Yeah, children workers. We need children workers, always. Amen? Teaching the children, raising up the next generation. What an honor. What an honor to do that, man. I mean, what? Do we think we're too good to teach kids or what? No, and all the lessons are pre-provided. You don't even got to do anything. Right, Jess? Be willing, yes. Just be willing, man. Serve somewhere. Serve. Do. Build the kingdom of God. Yeah, man, you'll be surprised how rewarding it is. Absolutely. I just thank all of you who do that, who serve and who work and who have a place. And you know what I mean? Because it is about denying yourself. It is about denying yourself. I ain't got time. Don't bring that to me. Don't ever bring that to me. You ain't got time for God. Did God save you knowing you would have no time for Him? Please don't bring that argument to me, because you ain't going to like my answer. It's kind of like the Satan answer a few minutes ago. Amen? Some of you will get that later. But I love you guys, man. And listen, the main thing I want to say today is, and you can say amen if this is you. If you died right now, you would go to heaven.
Amen.
One more time. If you died right now, you would go to heaven.
Amen.
And you're 100% sure.
Amen.
Boy, the numbers went down there, though. I just want you to know that. I don't leave here today without knowing for sure that if you died today, you would go to heaven. Because you know what? Your tomorrow is not guaranteed. Your tomorrow is not guaranteed. I just want you to have that assurance. And I can give you, through the Word of God, the assurance that you seek, so that you too can know, not think, not hope, not believe, but know that you are going to be absent from this body and be present with the Lord. Amen? Christians, this is the time of invitation. You know what that means? That means you come and lay down something to God. That's what that means. You come and talk to God. Or maybe you come and thank God. Today we're talking about becoming less. Is there anything in your life you need to become less in so that He can become more? Can you think of anything? Because if you can, I want you to come down here and talk to Him about it. That's what this invitation is about, isn't it?
Yep.
It's just about talking to God. Pastor, I don't want to step out. People will think I have a problem. We already know you have a problem. We already know you have a problem. We know you got many problems. We may not know them specifically, but we all have problems and difficulties and situations. Amen? Just let the Lord speak to you this morning. Father, we just come before you and we thank you again for this time together. Lord, we thank you for these words from such a great man in the Bible, such a committed, dedicated man like John the Baptist, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for these words that he must become less as so Jesus could become more. Lord, what words to live by this morning. We thank you that Jesus also said that we must deny ourselves, Lord, and take up our cross daily. If we want to be his disciple, that's what's required, Lord, that we deny ourselves. And Father, I thank you for Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15:31. A pillar verse, Lord. I die daily. Lord, help me to remember that. Let that become so much a part of me, Lord, that I do that not only daily, but hourly, or however often it is needed. Lord, just speak to your people today about what they should come down and speak to you about. Most importantly, Lord, if someone doesn't know they're going to heaven today, Lord, I want them to have that confidence. I want them to know that if they died today, they would be present with the Lord. Father, we commit this time to you, and I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.